You're listening to Radio Free Cybertron.
This is the Radio Free Cybertron commentary on Transformers 4, Age of Extinction. Funny enough, this is the third, not the fourth, Transformers commentary that we've done, not counting the 1986 movie, which we enjoyed thoroughly.
We were supposed to do G.I. Joe.
So we were supposed to do G.I. Joe, and we didn't. That's when we were trying to do the 2007 movie. That didn't happen, so we were going to do G.I. Joe and Denton. What did we do?
We weren't even trying to do the 2007 movie. We were just going to do one for the G.I. Joe movie, and that wouldn't work for JD, I think, so we switched over to Transformers the Movie animated.
And isn't that more fitting?
I wanted to do the G.I. Joe one.
Let's still do it.
You hate that movie, though.
And
you had more time to stew on that, too, so it'd be even worse.
Oh, wait, yes. Sorry. No, I was thinking the 1987 G.I. Joe the movie. The 2009 movie.
Yeah.
Rise of Cobra. Yes, I want to do that. Such a terrible movie.
We need to get a triplet for that, then.
We do. I'm your host, Brian Hilby. With me, we have Chris,
I'm
Diecast,
XV.
And Don, and XV.
He's XV
Chris
today.
And XV. I don't know which to use. His Skype handle says Chris. So what we're going to do, we're going to do our commentary on Age of Extinction, which we've all watched multiple times, except for maybe XV.
Yeah, I've only watched it once because I'm smarter than the rest of you.
Same here. I've watched it one time.
High five, Don.
This is the fifth viewing for me, I think. So, we're all pretty well versed in the movie, and we have quite a few thoughts. So what we're going to do in a minute is we'll give you a cue on when to actually start the movie. Don't start now if you've already started and you want to follow along with us. Go to your DVD menu or your Blu-ray menu.
Go to your home video menu.
Your home video menu. If you are watching this through like Vudu or the Paramount Ultraviolet thing, which was what I was doing, basically go to the screen. It has all your movies on it and click on the Age of Extinction and we'll tell you when to hit play. Fortunately, it says play in every single instance possible. So unless it's German or something, then it would say something else in German. I don't know.
Plugin.
So, basically we're just going to watch along with you and give you some of our thoughts. Tell us what you think. Pipe in. We can't hear you, and we very well may no longer be alive when you actually do it, but hey.
Or can we hear you?
I'm sure a lot of people be yelling at the screen.
I hope so.
It's a Michael Bay movie. People have stuff wrote down.
Does it count if when I watch the podcast on weeks I'm not on, I yell at the screen?
Yes.
Hey, just for reference, we recorded this on October 7th, 2014.
Because Kilby forgot the movie was coming out.
I honestly forgot the movie was coming out, and I didn't buy it until the weekend after.
I'm just happy to never buy it. I was kind of reluctant to even pay $1.30 to rent it.
Yes, I'm sorry. I ended up getting all versions, unlike the time that we did this with Revenge of the Fallen, which there are like three different versions for. Every English version of this, I believe, is the same, so there should be no timing issues. That was awful when that happened.
Only you, sorry, Kilby.
Yeah. Timing.
So it's a long movie, so let's go ahead and get this started. So if you are at your menu screen on your home video release of Transformers 4, Age of Extinction, in 3, 2, 1, press play now.
FBI
so you should
warning.
Be
a FBI warning. The unauthorized reproduction or distribution. Oh, it's gone.
Yeah, watch out for the FBI.
It's been rated.
They're everywhere.
PG-13.
So are you guys at the Paramount thing?
I'm at PG-13.
Yeah, I'm at PG-13.
Mm-hmm. Okay, now I'm at.
Yep, there comes the stars.
Yep,
it's full of stars.
I love how they do the, like, you know, Transformer type of sound effects with this.
That weird bass synth thing they do.
Yeah.
Everything else Michael Bay ever does also uses.
Every time it's
the Michael Bay sound.
Every time I
bet that's what Michael Bay actually sounds like.
Every time I see the stars, it's like, the more you know.
In association with Hasbro, who's that?
No, it should say Paramount Pictures proudly presents, but they don't put the proudly in there.
So, you know, first watching this movie, you know, I thought this wasn't, I didn't think this was, you know, 65 million years ago or whatever, and this was actually like, oh, this is Lockdown's fleet and he's invading the Earth.
Yeah. The beginning is kind of mishandled from a, like, this is one of those things, if you walk away, and if you have to go to the bathroom and it's such a long movie, it makes sense that you would at some point. This is one of those things you really can't miss. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, it won't make sense. And but, honestly, it might not make sense anyway.
Yeah.
So, you know, the other thing is, why are these ships snails? Are they that slow?
And to be completely honest with you, sitting down and watching this again, like, the Dark of the Moon started off on basically the moon, right? In space. Mm-hmm. So I keep thinking that I put in the wrong
movie
Blu-ray.
You know, actually, that fleet of ships is the Galactica's fleet of ships, and she's right off at the outside of camera range.
I love CG dinos, though.
This was kind of a tease because you're watching this and you're like, oh, dinos.
Well,
it's like, oh,
and the thing is, they got like the perfect built-in way to explain the Dinobots later,
and they don't use it.
Yeah, that seems like the obvious point of this too.
Now, is that hand we just saw foreshadowing for the next movie, you think?
Probably not.
Because that wasn't a Lockdown hand.
No, that was cyborg-ish.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure that's something they mean to develop at a later point, if they get there. But maybe not specifically the next movie.
Okay.
You know, that's the thing everybody theorizes is going to be like the Quintesson stand-in for the movies, and that would be perfect for the fifth movie, but... I kind of doubt that.
My third viewing of this movie, that scene there flying through the canyon, I saw this in IMAX in the front row. And then I thought, oh my God, this is going to be fantastic. It wasn't. And at this point, I'm like, what the hell?
I mean, the thing is, though, it's not like it's a bad movie. It's not a bad movie. It's like second after Dark of the Moon. Which maybe isn't the highest praise, but still.
I know.
There's too much of it. That's the problem.
It's second after Revenge of the Fallen from the bottom, in my estimation. I like the first movie better.
Look, it's looks Grimlock. Like Grimlock.
Yeah. It's Grimlock!
Only it's not.
Yeah.
And look, there's Long Haul. Only it's
I can't
not.
Wait. Yeah. I can't wait for him to turn into a badass robot.
And Scrapper.
Mm-hmm. Texas.
Just, you know, Texas in general.
I can't wait for all the flags.
There's only one house in Texas, right?
That's the number that you could call. I don't know if that still works on the billboard right there.
I could dial it in. That would probably be obnoxious for our listeners.
And for some of our contributors.
Yeah. It, you know what? Even though it's a good looking movie.
I mean, Bay's movies have always looked great. It's just I can't follow half the action sometimes.
Well, I was gonna say the first one did not really look great because of, you know, the overbearing Michael Bay style, but they toned that back going forward.
Yeah, Revenge of the Fallen looked way better. Revenge of the Fallen looked pretty bad too.
No, Dark of the Moon's really where it turned around. And, you know, there was like an hour and a half of action scene in Dark of the Moon, and you could actually like follow what was going on. That was kind of important.
Yeah, it
was Revenge of the Fallen where it really went downhill the worst.
Well, you know, I've said this before that I could not follow the fight in the forest in Revenge of the Fallen. I didn't know Prime had even gotten stabbed until I saw him fall over, and it's like, I have no idea who just did what.
I mean, I guess it was hard to tell who specifically stabbed him, but in terms of the things that were happening, I didn't have a big problem.
Yeah.
These ancillary characters that pop up in Bay's movies really bother me. The guy that owns the old theater here just is not believable as a real human being.
Cowboy hat guy or
yeah, the cowboy hat guy.
Yeah, no, he's not.
I
don't know. He
characters.
Reminds me a little of Brian Savage. But then he's not really believable as a human being either.
I mean, the part where he says that the projector is possibly IMAX is just...
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And he's been in so many things, I can't even... I don't even know his name, but he's been in so many different things.
Yeah, lots of TV, lots of movie appearances. He's like a good flavor character type. Not really good for a lead role a lot of the time, but he like builds the atmosphere. There we go. That's gonna be important later, don't forget.
Yeah. Some physical comedy.
That's how I would expect Brian to throw.
What, Savage?
Yes.
Me. And the truck. So.
How did it get in there?
That's what I.
Yeah, don't ask.
Yeah. How did they get out of there? I mean, the answers to those questions are basically the same thing, but.
Off screen.
Yeah.
The answer is off screen in both regards.
How long has that thing been in there that no one's opened up the door and those shells have fallen out?
Well, why are there shell casings in there? It's like the cover to G2 number one, where the shell casings are embedded in Optimus Prime's helmet instead of the
not the bullet.
Yeah. That's not how guns work. I mean, unless he had like a backfire or something.
Unless he's like, yeah.
And here's the Dalter.
She's 17 and she's talking about getting wasted.
Yeah.
Lots of good morals in these movies.
Yeah, well, we'll see some of that in a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a scene.
I love how she's just throwing around the stuff that her dad has to repair.
It's broken anyway, so.
Yeah, but he's still got to fix it.
He won't know the difference.
And I'm sorry, for all of his accomplishments, he's just not a robotics. I just don't. No.
Wait, that was important. She got denied from college, so we know she's not the brightest bulb in the box.
Or she could just not apply herself.
That's true.
Kill it. That's actually not far off from some of the Autobots and Decepticons we've seen in these movies, honestly.
Yeah.
When I first saw that, that's what I immediately assumed.
That it was the remains of Wheelie?
Yeah, something like that.
The problem I have with this right here is there ought to be more soldiers like up on the wall, like controlling the area out to a distance.
Yeah.
But on the other hand, like, it's kind of nice that's the most presence the real military actually has in this movie. It's a nice change.
Hey, yeah, you're right. This is called cashing in a paycheck.
Yeah. the problem is we never saw how big his tab was at Cheers.
Funny.
That would make more sense if this was George Wendt, though.
Yeah, true. I know.
I don't know. I can't really complain about Kelsey Grammer in, like, anything.
Yeah. Except maybe Down Periscope. That just was not very funny.
I fortunately never watched that.
Yeah.
That was pre-Frasier, though, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was, well, not long before, if anything. Operation Petticoat was a much funnier movie in the same situations.
So, for the Evasion Optimus Primes, which one is the closest to the movie right now?
The Japanese one, I think. Takara's version got there more because it has more paint spread over it.
And well, actually, it's Tampos, isn't it? For the most part, all the
Tampographs are paint, Don.
Oh, I meant. Sorry,
they're applied differently.
Yeah, I was thinking paint
like
application.
Stamps.
Yeah.
But it still counts.
Yeah, yeah.
He's a douchebag.
Which one?
Exactly.
Both of them.
And I'm...
He's not a likable character.
Which one?
Jaeger.
Actually, all three of them are not likable characters.
Yes, she has a pretty butt. You can stop showing her butt at any time.
No.
And this didn't need to be in here either.
Well, at least they have a door big enough to get the truck in.
Yeah.
I hate that thing so freaky.
Well, it needs more of a jaw. Also, he needs more natural-looking pit stains. That just looks like he has dark patches sewn into his shirt.
Yeah.
This is actually a great idea. If he just would have, you know, worked on this one project and perfected it, he could have made a lot of money.
I'm certain someone's already done it.
My R2-D2 has a little can on it that it could bring you, kind of.
Did that Max Steel RoboForce robotic servant assistant thing, would it not do stuff like that, supposedly? Like bring you a can? I think you would actually have to give the can to it and then walk across the room. So my question is, how did he sustain his business and life to get to this point?
Badly.
Tinkering.
Because he had to do something to actually make money. Did he inherit something?
Maybe he just had like a booming eBay business before eBay went and turned terrible. I mean, he seems to have the ability to go and, you know, collect old junk that's arguably worth something if he doesn't tear it apart.
Right.
Yeah.
Or tinker with it.
Same difference.
That was a little...
Uh-huh.
You know, the thing is, so the movie should, these movies, I think, would be better if there was, you know, like a juxtaposition between believable and unbelievable, but it's just unbelievable from every single angle.
It's like, you know, I'm...
There's not a believable interaction between people in this whole movie.
I don't buy that that's his daughter.
No, it's just...
Why not?
I don't know. It's just not there. And again, with what Chris said later, what comes up later with her stuff that just didn't even need to be in there.
The problem is, like, those two do not have any kind of
chemistry.
Yeah, I mean, they don't work in that role because there's no connect. You can't believe that these are people who spent their whole lives together.
This is like $100 million middle school play.
Something like that.
Hey, here comes a bright spot in the movie, right?
Eh.
Oh, that's like Half Gun face.
That's Nightscope face. His face has many modes.
So I guess you're saying he's many faces?
Don, I'll hurt you.
Don. And this is probably my least favorite scene in the whole movie.
Yeah.
Second. And it takes forever to get to the point.
Don, did you watch this movie at all? Everything takes forever.
I know, but
I'm
just saying they could, if they needed to shave a little bit of time here and there, they could have.
Well, this is suspenseful right now because you don't know, you know, what they're looking for.
But if you haven't watched this, this is not my least favorite scene. This is just another scene. I hate this scene.
Yeah.
What, Brian, would it be any different as if it was a different whatever they were looking for? So it's not spoiled. If it was a different what it turned out to be?
I'm joking. So they're looking for Ratchet.
Oh, well, I was trying to.
Who I actually like.
I was thinking, Ratchet too. I was thinking if they, you know, took the same concept and applied it to somebody, like, either somebody nobody has any connection to, like Jolt from Revenge of the Fallen, who appeared like in one scene in the background,
or if Jazz hadn't died in the first movie,
or you know, Skids and Mudflap, who never appeared to die.
Oh my god, if it had been Skids or Mudflap, that would have been also, I would have cheered.
Yeah,
but I think they did that because everybody seems to like Ratchet, and at least, and then that makes them like, oh, these are the,
or hate him least.
Yeah, these are the bad
guys.
But
how many of the original Autobots can you just knock out? Like, we only have two left.
Well, they've knocked them all out. Yeah. They've knocked them all out.
Yeah, Jazz died in the first movie. Ironhide died in Dark of the Moon.
And Bumblebee's around, and Optimus.
Bumblebee's always going to be around, though.
I mean, you know, they're doing it. They're going after the medic.
And they're not making that distinction, though, is the thing.
Yeah. And even when Ratchet tells who he is, they don't care.
They don't care.
No.
Yeah, and it's like, this is to show us how mean and evil these humans are.
Well, it's Lockdown, too.
Yeah, well, that's true.
Well, yeah, but I mean, they kind of mislead you on Lockdown at first. Just the way they introduce him and the way he's brought into play here before the reveal.
Humans.
Mm-hmm.
Which is exactly what's happening to you right now.
Which is like, well, we're the ones who helped in Chicago.
And, you know, at first that looked like Lockdown is trying to manipulate both sides against each other. Which in a way could have worked out better. You know, induce Ratchet to attack so they're justified in killing him. Not that they really need it,
but then Lockdown comes strolling in
and, oh, they're working with Lockdown because that makes total sense.
Why do you think they made Lockdown look more human than most?
Well, I mean, they did the same thing with the other newly introduced characters. You know, I think that's just, like, everybody got a major design overhaul because a big thing with the first three movies was everybody looks the same the whole way through. It's not good for marketing. And I mean, it's a cost-cutting perspective from the movie side of it, because they don't have to make completely new models every time.
With the exception of Lockdown, who is black, they added quite a bit of color to
everyone.
This.
Everyone was more colorful. You could actually tell. They weren't just like gray masses moving around in robot mode.
They look like toys.
I thought it was the Dinobots anyway.
God. I hate this guy.
He's also unnecessary.
Yeah, it's like, why not just have this guy talk to Kelsey Grammer character directly and just not even have another person that doesn't do anything?
Oh, because this guy is not good enough to talk to Kelsey Grammer.
Yeah, he's just a flunky of the president.
No, I mean, like, as an actor, he's not good enough to talk to Kelsey Grammer.
I think this is almost how government works sometimes.
Oh, you're right. It is.
When will then be now? Soon.
Like, I get the sense, like, the same impression from this guy that I got from Coulson in the first Iron Man movie, except, you know, Coulson was more confident. But it's just, like, in the context of that movie alone, Coulson does not really have a need to be there.
Yeah.
That's really the only point where this guy is necessary, for Kelsey Grammer to have someone to deliver exposition to.
I'm evil. Watch my evil glare.
Number five
isn't alive.
There's probably an easier way to make a painting robot.
Yeah.
For one thing, use an airbrush.
I hate her so much.
I think she's the most likable out of any character on this.
Oh, no.
His idiot friend.
No.
Who's more likable?
Crosshairs. Actually, Hound's about the most likable character in the entire movie.
Exactly. You know, that's something I brought up when the movie came out about Hound and his voice actor. And she's way outside the danger zone.
I don't get that. I don't want to know. So I'll just leave it. I'll leave it without context.
It's better that way.
You know what I mean, Chris.
Transformers. It's better without context.
Yeah, a lot of times. Also better than crack.
But starting to get just as expensive.
At least the sunsets are a little more natural occurring here.
Well, and they don't occur like six times a day.
Yeah.
More American flags than normal, though.
The painter bot was still painting.
Oh, now we know why Hasbro doesn't have a lot of paint applications sometimes.
That one spot's going to be really painted well.
I think that's a different movie.
Also, you're like in the middle of farmland in Texas. Why are you driving around with a surfboard strapped to your car?
Yeah.
You are nowhere near the Gulf.
I mean, it's a surfer friend. It's a motif.
I was about to say, does it have to be so heavy-handed? But yes, it does. Yeah, it's a hole in a radiator. That's great. This isn't believable at all.
Yeah, yeah. I love how it shakes.
My truck does that when I reconnect the battery.
I love how they're scared.
Foreshadowing.
I think he kind of overestimates his ability.
Really?
Yeah. Why, by all that junk that doesn't work?
Yeah. He's Dr. Archiville Light.
That'd be great if the next movie is in, like, you know, 15 years after this, and he's, you know,
Dr. Archiville.
Uh-huh. And his business card says Dr. Archiville, genius of science.
He's more like Dr. Fujiyama.
Except he hasn't built a successful ninja yet.
Not yet.
Oh God, I'm not gonna say nothing. I'm just...
Yeah, yeah.
This goes on for another 2 hours.
Oh, it has to be longer than that.
Yep. That's our beloved Optimus Prime.
Give me faces.
Looking for some faces.
Oh. How did that not kill him? How is he on his feet?
That's moving.
Battle computer damaged. Searching. Searching. Prowl's chip chase. Sorry.
Oh, he's leaking brain fluid.
Mm-hmm. I think that's antifreeze going by the color.
Yeah.
That makes sense, though. They took his radiator out.
Yeah.
Looks like he's got an exhaust problem, too.
And a bad head gasket.
Yeah.
No, the one Autobot that can repair you is dead.
Do you want your head back?
Yeah.
Oh, remember this was going on?
Yeah, because now that, you know, we're starting to get part of the story, let's go to the other part.
I kind of missed the writer's strike.
Where at least there was an excuse.
Well, look at it this way. At least we saw more of Optimus Prime in the same scene than we would see Godzilla.
Don, Godzilla was great. This is not.
And Godzilla and Transformers are two different kind of things.
Yeah. Godzilla was more than excellent. This is less than. Yeah,
that sounds like XV saying.
Hmm.
His saying is, "I don't care."
Okay. No, not in this movie.
Not by the people who wrote or directed.
Also, nice with the Lamborghini logo split across his chest like that. Subtle.
Yeah.
Subtle.
But comparing the way that Lockdown looks right there to the way any character looked in the first one or Dark of the Moon, I mean, it's night and day how much better this looks than the first one.
Yeah, Lockdown really doesn't look like a Lamborghini at all in robot mode. He's just basically a robot with, as XV said, the emblems split across his chest.
But it's sharp. It's all distinct.
And he's got like a recognizable facial structure.
Yeah. The artistry and technology is way better.
Well, and I think part of it too is just that, like, you know, when they made the original models, they were purposely trying to make them look as alien as they could. And, you know, when they went back to redo and then also make more new stuff, you know, they worked with the understanding that people want these to look more like human faces.
I would take Prime's face now over Lockdown any day, and I don't know if that's just because I gotten used to Prime's face in the movies, or...
But if you look at Prime's face in the first movie and look at Prime's face here, even that is... they've retweaked the facial design. It's not the same as it was to start with. Just like in every movie, the characters had, you know, minor little alterations to their models, but for the most part, they still looked just the same.
I mean, I guess my point, though, like, all the Autobots, you can pretty much tell by looking at the robot what they transform into.
Okay,
and Lockdown,
yeah,
you would never be able to guess that he turns into a Lamborghini.
No.
I wouldn't be able to tell what Ratchet turned into. So he brought a heat gun and some duct tape.
Yeah, he should have had all that stuff if he was in, you know, playing with all that junk.
Maybe he used up all of it last night.
Yeah. Maybe Optimus stepped on it.
Also, what's the point of Lockdown climbing up a grain silo except to, like, attract attention?
It looked nice. You could tell what it was. It was nice and distinct.
Now, I do really like those cars. Those cars are really awesome.
I love those nonsensical government vehicles.
The 4x4 barricades.
All the off-road sports utility vehicles that the government has for when they invade,
Texas. That's what I was talking about. Not the SUVs, because the government does have tons of those, you know.
Yeah, but it's the sport. Yeah.
Just because something's an SUV doesn't mean it can actually go off-road.
Yeah.
No, right.
You take the wrong one of those off-road, you're going to bend the frame on the first bump.
The one thing that made the scene better is if Coulson had stepped out. Just saying.
No, I don't want Coulson in this.
Well, it sure couldn't have hurt.
Coulson should have stayed dead after Avengers. They shouldn't have even brought him back for S.H.I.E.L.D.
Correct.
It ruined the whole thing. But that's another movie.
I hate Savoy. But I mean, but it's good. It's a good kind of hate because I'm supposed to hate
him. Well, that's, you know, what the actor is good for. He's also the actor that said that this was not a movie for kids before Paramount made him retract.
He was telling the truth.
Well, we all knew that.
I mean, this one's more not for kids because it's like misogynistic and stuff. Like the last one was not for kids because it was so violent. This one's pretty violent too, but not as violent as Dark.
Well, and
Moon.
Like the first one wasn't really for kids because it had a lot more like vulgar elements than anything else.
Yeah.
I mean, I was kind of stunned by some of the stuff in the first movie when I was watching it the first time.
Now I want to see this line. I missed this line when they that Jaeger's supposed to say that Kelsey picks up that Grammer's picks up on. I missed that the first time.
You said
I missed that the first time. I didn't catch it.
I love how he has a stage.
Look, it's roll bar, but not really.
Yeah, I was waiting for that to transform.
There's nobody in the driver's seat. There's specifically nobody in the driver's seat.
That was a red herring.
They specifically did not put a person in the driver's seat.
Him. There you go, Don.
Okay.
Or him, yeah. I kind of hope this is like a director's cut where they actually all get shot.
Well, that would certainly make it shorter and easier to bear.
Yeah.
The thing is, you know, it's this perilous scene, but you just don't care.
Yeah, it's...
There's no heart to it.
How'd he get a hole that deep?
Well, how'd he get down there and cover over like that, too? He didn't have to look so happy about it.
He's much too happy saying that.
Yeah. He really wants to kill someone.
Yeah. Up from the depths, 30 stories.
So do we assume that Jaeger fixed him, or he's still kind of injured right now?
He's still injured.
Maybe not as much, though.
But not as much, and he automatically fixes himself.
And yeah, because standing on those, like, three-story tall grain silos would totally give him a better firing angle for those missiles. Like, you know, 4 miles away. Also, yes, he totally just kicked that guy in the head with his car.
I love the vomit / spit that comes out of the guy's mouth.
And
also, what kind of rally car has 4 doors and seats?
Yeah.
That's not how that works.
Yeah, the rear seat's always the first thing to go.
And the passenger seat next, depending on the kind of rally car they're doing.
Yeah.
And I no more believe that she is a navigator for him than I believe
a euphemism, Don.
I know. I'm just saying, in the movie they say that, so.
I know, but it's a euphemism. Also, like, toy line wise, it's totally a missed opportunity not releasing another Barricade with that off road police car thing.
Yeah.
With vehicle mode. Because, I mean, that thing looks really cool. It makes no sense that it exists, but it looks really cool.
I would love to have a Transformers, you know, made after that body.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's cool looking. It just is completely nonsensical.
What is it? Is it a Porsche or something?
I don't remember.
Yeah.
Is it a real vehicle?
No.
Well, it exists. I don't think it's like a production vehicle.
It's a custom
something. Like that. Like a conversion or something.
In my
baseline,
they're all real.
Well, yeah. In Michael Bay's mind, all kinds of things are real.
Like Megan Fox.
But the nice thing is it just got T-boned, and now there's no damage on the car again.
Which was part of the whole red herring of us thinking this is a robot in disguise.
No, Don.
And the sad part is that tree could have been Botanica. We'll never know.
Flipping cars, another Michael Bay hallmark.
Talk about a roll in the hay.
I hate myself for laughing at that, Don, but I did.
Oh, he donned again.
That needs to be the slogan for the next round of RFC shirts.
Yeah.
Is that a chicken?
It's a chicken, I tell you. A giant chicken.
Oh, God. Lockdown. It's actually Chicken Boo.
You know, if Animaniacs had been made now, there would have been a Transformers Chicken Boo short.
He don't act like the other Lockdown do.
And believe it or not, Chicken Boo is my most hated skit from the entire series.
I love Chicken Boo.
Great. Chicken Boo and Katie Kaboom, I could just not ever see again and be happy.
I bet you love Minerva Minx, didn't you, Don? Huh?
Minerva Minx?
Yeah, Minerva Minx.
I guess Don's not a furry, though, is the thing.
True.
I think that's kind of a prerequisite for being into Minerva Minx.
I know people who have, hopefully they're not listening to this, who, when I've mentioned Animaniacs, they say that they loved Minerva Minx. And, yeah, that's just red flag. Yeah.
How do they get on the roof? I'm sorry. I'm asking logical questions again. Never mind.
They jumped. Yep, Optimus Prime sure is against killing humans.
They deserved it.
Well, I mean, that becomes an issue later in the movie, though.
Yeah. Well, see, normally
well,
he
no,
does
I mean, because he deserved it, too, so.
Well, see, normally he doesn't kill humans, and it takes so many faces to mean anything, it's not worth his time.
No, but, like, later on he says something like he took a vow never to kill a human, but you can't expect all that stuff he's not killing some of them in the process, even if not intentionally.
So is this the stupidest scene in the movie?
What, the parking garage chase?
Yeah. Yeah.
And specifically the resolution
it's
of
up
it.
There.
This right here.
It doesn't look like he's going fast enough off that ramp.
He's not.
And they do this all the time, apparently.
Well, yeah, if you have your ramp in exactly the right place, you can land that safely, but
Do you think he sat down and he like did all the algebra and everything it would take to
algebra.
Like, yeah.
Yeah, I don't think either one of them can do algebra. People running from fires. Brought to you by Michael Bay.
Also, I like how the stuff spreads out around them, but never actually overtakes them.
Yeah, co-sponsored by Beast Machines. Run, flame, explosions.
I was shocked at this part.
Yeah, I mean, that's pretty horrific.
I mean, I didn't like that character anyway, but it was still kind of...
Yeah, no, I mean, it's horrific either way.
Like, they just did that to pretty much a main character.
And they linger on it, is a thing, too.
Yeah.
Flash!
Savior of the universe.
You will believe a man can fry.
I do admit that I like the way that Lockdown transforms.
Yes.
But
when he just lays down and...
But have you noticed they've either done it off-screen or from a distance? You know, you don't get a lot of... You don't see Lockdown transforming yet in a way that you can appreciate the CGI of the motions. It's either off-screen or so far away.
I actually kind of like it better the way they're doing it, which is just to make it look like more naturally integrated with the action. They're not, you know, doing a camera pan around him.
I hate crap like that with the camera pan and stuff.
I guess that'd be a lot like in Energon when they would just stop and have the stock footage transformation in the middle.
Or like all the crap in, Robots in Disguise.
Yeah, well, we'll save that
for... I bet you wish you could see my face right now, huh?
I can, actually. We're on Skype. There's video.
Of course, Don's the only one sharing his video. Don, put a shirt on, man.
I'll wear this thong and damn well like it.
You have something other than leopard print, though?
I'm not a thong. I'm sorry. I know it's a disappointment to many people.
Don, there is that one person that keeps emailing us. More Don and Thong, please.
No, it's probably more Masty Attacks, please.
I do get that.
That's just diecast from dummy email accounts.
I like that.
Fuel, no one's supposed to know.
I love the tanker behind them. Fuel or Oil Corporation.
Yeah.
Is that like Fast Car Incorporated? I mean,
yes. Hamburger restaurant.
Okay, here's the part they could have left this out because it adds nothing to it except a creepy factor.
They're not quite there yet. They're not quite there because that happens, I believe, when she's not in the room.
Oh, God. How far away? Oh, God, it's coming up, isn't it?
He's been navigating me to the finish line all the time.
That's nice. That's good. I hate this so much.
And what's sad is it's actually a better movie than 2, but that's not saying much.
This part just shows what a perv whoever wrote this
is. Who
is
the writer for this? Like, who's the main credited writer?
Is it Orson? Or is it anybody involved?
Orson Pearson left.
What?
I don't... They're still involved with Prime, aren't they?
Here's the part.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I know the statue, and I have it right here.
Yeah. And he carries the thing in his wallet.
Well, yeah, so, you know, when a cop comes knocking on the window at night when they're parked somewhere, you know.
Yeah. Like, this adds nothing to the movie.
Oh, no, not at all. Not at all.
If they just made her 18 and just getting to graduate school and her having a...
It adds nothing. It adds nothing and subtracts a lot.
Exactly.
But they can't make her 18 because if she was 18, she could not be under her dad's thumb.
I mean, I'm agreeing with you guys a lot.
Good point.
I still like the movie.
You know, the whole point was, you know, she had to be underage so that her father could still be in control of her life. She had to still...
Otherwise, she's just sad.
Yeah. Otherwise, she's just... Yeah, she's either sad or could just leave and not even be involved, and the movie would be better either way.
Yeah, but family comes together in a traumatic situation, which is what this is, so they...
But the whole crux of her her grief with her dad is the fact that he's controlling her.
And oppressing her.
Smothering her is a better way of putting it. Oh, no.
Leadfoot. Not the target car.
Leadfoot.
Well, that's why he was a target. Foot.
Oh.
Sorry, I was channeling Don a little bit on that one.
I'm glad they didn't show Top Spin. Top Spin, or as I call it, or Top Spin, or Don Hart Jr.
I'm guessing Hole in the Rock is an actual place, but...
Or not.
Just... Also, this is ridiculous.
Yeah.
But yeah, we're Top Spin... Or Roadbuster, they were shown as being DOA, right? They were shown as being
I believe
eliminated.
It was established, yeah. It might have been on Kelsey Grammer's playing cards.
It's a Tonka truck.
Yeah.
Oh! I'm assuming that Tonka is owned by Hasbro.
I believe.
Most people are, except for Mattel, and Mattel's not
got
that
ammo?
Lucky. That's pretty well indicative of Optimus Prime's personality.
Also, that's great how the truck looks like it's going to explode while he's rescanning.
Yeah.
You know, Ratchet should have rescanned one of the vehicles that was chasing him during the chase at
He should have rescanned another vehicle with the legs.
I think the mask has to be that's my favorite scene. One of my favorite scenes right there. But the
truck driving?
No, the
Don. Let's not talk about mass. Let's not talk about the law of conservation of mass. Okay, it's not the time or the place.
Here comes some new Autobots that haven't been around for the last three battles.
This is also not a discussion for subspace.
Well, I'm just saying I don't think Ratchet can. Grow his legs back because there's nothing to grow his legs out of.
Well, then he could scan a smaller form and...
Okay, let's not go there.
Hound is the only new Autobot that I actually like.
Yes.
You and everybody else.
Hound. Yes, Hound.
I kind
Hound
of hate
is
him.
One of the very few, if only, saving grace. And John Goodman did an absolutely excellent job.
Tank's empty, bro. That's the one thing I like about Hound.
And then you got Drift shown as a car, then jumping off a mountain, turning into a helicopter, without ever really explicitly addressing, hey, he can change into different things.
And they never mentioned he was a former Decepticon. That's never even brought up.
No, but...
It's mentioned.
No, I don't think so.
No, it's...
It's mentioned on, like, the toy packaging, but it doesn't come up in the movie's dialogue.
At all.
Well, that would be, like, character background. We can't have that.
Also, it would just, like... take up more space in the movie, and it's bad enough as it is.
And finally, Bumblebee. Well, that wasn't a very first scene.
Besides, you know, they could like say Drift used to be a Decepticon, but what does it actually serve the story unless they like make a huge thing out of it through the movie?
Yeah. Well, and that would involve like, you know, plot and character development.
Mm-hmm.
There's your connection to Godzilla. I hate the Autobot so much.
It's just kind of great that these are all that's left.
I mean, he's the one that seems like he was Decepticon.
Yeah. I mean, in general, I think it would work better if this group was, like, specifically comprised of the survivors of both sides.
That would make sense. These guys remind me of Slaughter's Marauders from G.I. Joe.
You know, I never thought about that, but you're right. No, I like Crosshairs with the coat doors, but the toy, it just did not...
The toy is so terrible.
It did not translate into the toy.
Yeah, I made the poor decision. He was the only Autobot Deluxe that I bought.
At least Drift was a decent toy.
Oh, yeah. Maybe in 5 to 10 years, if they redo the Crosshairs toys, the technology will be there that we can get.
Hopefully in 5 to 10 years, they'll be doing new toys and new characters.
Maybe, you know, in like 3 years when the next movie comes out, they can have Crosshairs in that and get an updated toy.
Well, since they'll probably kill him in the first 15 minutes.
That doesn't necessarily preclude a new toy.
True.
Didn't Barricade have a toy in Revenge of the Fallen, and he wasn't even in that movie?
But he's awesome.
Uh-oh.
And Barricade's not explicitly dead, right? Or is he dead?
I think he was killed in Dark of the Moon. Because he actually showed back up in Dark of the Moon.
I don't even remember that.
Well, you were there.
Yeah, I know. I've seen it several times.
I wish the toy had a removable hat. That'd be nice.
Yeah.
Hound's a nice toy, too.
I've never taken mine out of the box yet.
Okay.
That's where I'm finding myself often, is just not taking them out of the box. Not that I want to keep it pristine, I just don't care.
There, see?
Huh. He didn't even say he's going to pay. He's just, I'm going to kill him. He's going to die.
Those two sentences do not work with each other, Optimus.
Yeah.
I do not think that logic statement equals the result that you think it does.
And was it really that important to go back to Chicago? Like, specifically?
Symbolism, I guess.
I mean, it could have been anywhere.
There was a button there, though, right? When Optimus said that.
Yeah.
Can we go to KSI when we're in Chicago?
Oh, yeah, we're going to Chicago. Is it still there? Chicago is actually the first place I ever saw Don in person.
So bad memories then for all around.
I made a point to take a photo, and I said, "That's Headmaster Don." I was, like, super excited. I was a little awestruck. Like, no joke. Like, no, seriously.
Estee Lauder. Sorry, it just reeks of an Estee Lauder commercial.
Well, it reeks of something.
It reeks. It reeks.
Also, it's the new version of Australian Hacker Chick from the first movie.
I love discussing dinosaurs over dinner.
Especially if they transform.
Unstable molecules?
You are not Dr. Sam Beckett, and you will never be on your best day.
I think you might be mixing your references there, Don.
No, he said they're about to make a quantum leap forward.
Oh.
Hell no, he ain't no Sam Beckett. He wishes he was.
This movie would have been better if Scott Bakula was in place of Mark Wahlberg.
Did they just say it's Transformers-dom?
Transformium.
I know.
Balls.
They have the best demonstrations, though. They really do.
I'll admit, this scene is kind of interesting.
No?
I hate this so much. I hate this so bloody much. This is so not interesting. This is so terrible. This is terrible on so many levels. The product placement, the crappy CG that they use, the fake sense of awe, everything about that. The acting.
Also, where'd they get that video?
It's all bad. Yeah. Yeah.
Where'd they get clips from Dark of the Moon?
Yeah, not
it could have been clips from the island. And then he could have reused it three times.
Nice. He looks like Seth Rogen or something.
Which one?
Bum bum bum.
But why'd you call it Galvatron?
Yeah, what?
They could have called it Nemesis Prime and it actually could have looked like Prime.
No, it still won't look like Megatron because, you know.
Yeah. It's like, what exactly is a Galvatron and how do they think of the name of it?
Right. It's not even like an obvious marketing thing like Transformium.
I hate him so much. He is probably my least favorite character in the movie.
That doesn't explain why there's a hole in the chest, though, you idiots. Did they actually show the other head? They said they had two.
Yeah, they didn't show it, I don't think. Or I didn't catch it.
I never noticed them saying two heads until now.
Unless they're referring to Ratchet.
We haven't had Ratchet's head long. Well, I'm assuming.
Yeah.
We actually don't know for sure, though, how long the time was. We assume that it was parallel to the other scene, but it doesn't mean that it was.
And none of these people recognize that's the actual real, not a real bug.
God.
You realize, like, one pervading element in the whole live-action Transformers movie series is that humans are idiots, right?
Yeah, that's... Well, a lot of movies, it takes into account that people just don't observe.
But that scene right there where they're all standing together, the Autobots, just look at all the colors. Mm-hmm. That's actually kind of nice.
I like this. I like that. Like, just that one line, it makes me want, like, a prequel movie where Optimus Prime's having to deal with a young Bumblebee.
I mean, it's not uniformly terrible.
No.
Just mostly.
I think the non-uniform terribleness is actually why it's worse. Because it was terrible, the same extent all the way through, it would be hilarious. It'd be entertaining consistently.
There's like an hour and 40 minutes left. We could just start watching Dark of the Moon. I mean, Revenge of the Fallen.
Well, we could do the 2007 movie. We never did that.
We need to do a double feature of that and G.I. Joe.
Yeah, but who would commit to that much time?
I can't.
Yeah, I know. We would have to like take a whole weekend, like a whole Saturday or Sunday, and do that.
Yeah.
Nobody's going to do that.
I actually do like this part here.
What, Bumblebee getting offended?
Yeah. Oh, this is how I feel with other Transformers podcasts. No offense to other Transformers podcasters out there listening.
It's a shame they use the more recent model of Pagani. I like the Huayra better.
I know nothing about them.
Oh, son of a...
Also, tip to people doing captioning, put an outline around your letters.
Well, it's not closed captioning. It's a little different in closed captioning.
No, it's subtitling, but it's kind of the same rule. Put, you know, an outline around the letters so that you can see them with color changes in the background.
Stroke the text.
Well, maybe after dinner.
have to get the carbs.
Has to be a good dinner, not one of those cheap dinners.
Mm-hmm. Ribeye. I'm not a cheap date. For as coherent as Bumblebee's speech is, they might as well have just, like, given him a voice properly.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, just give him Ron Friedel's voice by this point.
Will, I mean, Friedel.
Oh, sorry. I don't know what I...
Ron Stoppable. So it's not like, though, they're even pretending that they're, like, samples from, like, the radio anymore.
No.
It's just...
That's what I'm saying. Like, his speech is really coherent, and they could have just given him a real voice. Well, okay,
I mean, they're still using the radio. They just found, like, you know... A lot of good radio edits.
They just recorded a lot of good radio edits.
See if we can see the second head.
That's kind of the thing through this whole movie. No two characters on screen together really have chemistry.
Nope.
Actually, no, I take that back. Irish Boyfriend and Mark Wahlberg have probably the most chemistry on screen together of anybody.
Let the slash fic begin.
Nah.
So he said a 7-figure piece of my company.
Mm-hmm.
So we're talking millions, right?
Like billions. Single millions.
Yeah, that doesn't seem like it's enough to really justify all this death.
That would be Ratchet's head, right?
Yeah, that's Ratchet.
Yeah.
That's subtle.
At least they've got some decent somber music and not some happy and pop and uplifting at this point.
Don't look what's in my hand.
Yeah. and that never goes anywhere.
Yeah, it does. Mm-hmm. She becomes a good guy, or she.
Well, as much as anybody is. So,
yeah.
Yeah, she starts. You know.
Yeah.
She's not
the problem.
The problem is,
you know, she's basically unimportant to the whole movie.
So yes, even though she's one of the first, people you see in the movie.
Yeah, but all the same, she doesn't make like any major contribution despite that scene. Although I like the scene coming up from this, not involving her because she doesn't have important scenes aside from that one, but the rescue scene is actually pretty cool. I liked him better as the old Camaro.
Yeah.
Toys R Us, you're the exclusive buyer?
Well, life as he knows it won't really go on. His farm got blown up.
Yeah.
That's kind of a problem, although he's getting evicted anyway, so.
He's coming.
Mm-hmm.
Ask and you shall receive.
Was it really necessary to, like, blow through there in vehicle mode? It's just a glass facade.
This was the most useful part of Drift being a triple changer right
here. Well, this is the part I really like, too. You know, ride the helicopter up through the shaft in the middle of the building and...
Shaft. Yeah.
Sorry, I couldn't think of a more direct word.
Yeah. Shut your mouth.
Meat bags. That's a good one.
I don't think that's new.
No, don't kill the Oreo machine.
Now, I will admit, this takes some stones.
The thing is, this whole exchange is also pointless.
Yeah.
But, like, neither one of them is actually saying anything of consequence.
Yeah.
It establishes his view on what he's doing, and then he's going to, you know, hopefully have a turnaround down the line.
But he has no legal right to do what he's doing.
It's a good scene for the purpose of being a good scene, but doesn't do anything.
He has government
backing. But then it's
not
a good scene. It's not a good scene if it doesn't, actually contribute to the whole.
I mean, visually.
This would basically, in our day, this would be, if this happened, KSI would be Lockheed Martin. You know, someone that has a big military contract to make weapons and technology.
Yeah, and I could see as a parallel to this Lockheed Martin getting like the spaceship wreckages and be reverse engineering them.
Oh, this is not going to end well.
I hate this.
Yeah, and they're transforming is...
Whoever thought that was a good idea?
I believe that was probably, you know, the animation director who realized, hey, if we don't have to actually animate moving parts, we can make a lot more of these and it doesn't cost as much. Plus, they did give some service in the dialogue to that they're supposed to be more advanced than the actual Transformers. I mean, it's not like it just comes with no justification, even though it's not, like, impressive looking at all.
It's just stupid looking. It's not 1994 anymore.
Yeah, you wish you were Patrick Stewart.
He still fell even after he transformed.
Also, he lost a wheel while he was transforming. Yeah, that seems like a problem.
That's not transforming.
This really is like the Knight Rider music in the background, too. It had the beat of the Knight Rider theme. Well, Drift can probably outrun the Pagani, but I don't think any of the other ones can.
That's true.
Drift might be able to outrun the missiles.
Our missiles!
I was waiting for that.
Here you go, Bumblebee transforming and grabbing humans midair.
Well, and then they, like, pass them back and forth, too. Or maybe that's later. They do this a lot in this movie.
Yeah.
Ah, physics!
What?
Who cares?
Also, like, really bad compositing.
Yeah. Well, wait. But do you think it's actual compositing? Do you think that's actual footage of them being thrown? I think it's all just CG.
I would say CG.
God, if it just, oh no, just
like it's not. I don't think it's really the actors, but it seemed like they were compositing two separate CG elements together instead of having the human models and the Transformer models all in the same environment. Because the lighting on the humans was completely wrong. If they were all rendered together, the lighting should have been consistent.
Megatron's a superior Transformer, or Galvatron, but he's a really bad shot.
Well that's how you know he did Decepticon.
Or they got some Sword Trooper DNA mixed in there.
She should be Hamburger.
I was going to say, I think most of her skin should be on the street.
Run into the field as far as you can.
Nah.
Yeah, that makes too much sense.
Go for his 10-hit combo.
Do a fireball. Do a fireball.
Get the final smash.
Okay, don't stop running. Keep
run the other way.
This scene really probably wasn't needed either.
Well, I mean, there's no reason to not have the fight scene, but...
Toys to sell.
The focus it has... No, I mean, it doesn't really need to have existed in that form. You know, fight scene from the ground perspective of a human goes back to problems with the first movie. There is a fight going on, but you can't see most of it.
Ah, Gunface.
That's why he's a better shot than Galvatron. And to think, we're only about halfway through the movie.
I know.
She just got in the car now. Which it should be the quintessence, but
I thought it was the naturally occurring interaction between levers and pulleys.
Nice.
Well, why couldn't Transformers have various schools of thought on where they come from?
I mean, humans do.
I came from my mom.
Even in IDW, there seems to be some distinction between, like, origin beliefs, although they've only really explored one of them. But, I mean, it kind of makes them more credible as, like, a long-lived sentient species that they wouldn't all agree on their origins.
Because, you know, apparently there's not an Alpha Trion that, or any of the 13 around.
Maybe Alpha Trion's the one who sent Lockdown.
No, Alpha Trion is Star-Lord's father.
Huh.
Can't the Autobots see him being taken up to the ship?
No, they went somewhere. They're having a break.
Okay. It's tea time for the other Autobots. Yeah.
They saw a Jack in the Box and wanted to stop.
Well, I can understand that.
Yeah. I don't think they put it on YouTube, though.
Especially if it's the one we went to, because there's like a half an hour wait to get your food.
Yeah, it's a half an hour wait per order.
Yeah, I still have never been to a Jack in the Box.
Well, don't go to that one.
Okay, where did he steal a Cylon Raider from?
Okay, I kind of like this. This is sort of funny. Sort of. Kind of. Okay, not really, but nobody else is saying anything.
Now, I think they could have really trimmed out from here until the escape.
Yes, they could have taken away the whole, you know, second invasion of Chicago. Just for one thing.
Smelting pits. You know, here's a creepy thought I had a while back. I just remembered it. Somewhere in that entire thing is Inspector Gadget's head just constantly saying, go, go, Gadget arms. Go, go, Gadget arms. He's like, he's... I don't know what made me think of that. But
Those things are cool looking with those eyes.
No, they're just kind of goofy looking.
More snail motif?
Seems like it, doesn't it? Or maybe they're just one of those Dyson vacuums with the...
Someone must have really liked Beast Wars Dead End.
That's not a snail, Don.
Well, it's...
That's an ammonite.
I know, but it's... Design cues are close.
Or was it an Amistar? I don't remember. Well, they're so similar anyway.
Then it pleased me to be.
But he doesn't know what he was told because he doesn't even know he was built.
Well, if you hate that lockdown, wait till we get headmasters.
What?
Well, the whole mixing of species said, wait till we get headmasters. You're going to really hate that.
No, it'd be more Master Force.
Don't I wish. Are you kidding? Headmasters? Power Masters? In the movie universe? That could be awesome.
No.
Yes.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
No. Why is everything steaming, but she's still not getting, like, burned touching it or anything?
That's just fog.
Yeah, the dry ass machine is malfunctioning.
Oh.
I actually forget what that is.
It's the thing that makes more transformium. It's one of those bombs they were dropping at the start of the movie that didn't make the Dinobots. Like, that was the whole beginning of the movie. You know, they were showing those bombs being dropped, converting dinosaurs and terrain into the metal.
Right,
that
right.
And the Arctic Expedition was, or Antarctic Expedition was digging that metal up, and they dug it all up. Not that the movie, like, explains that terribly well.
The movie does a lot of things not terribly well.
Yeah, most of which centers on, like, explaining how the plot works.
So we're actually saying there's a plot here at some point.
Sort of, hypothetically.
Oh, that was catchy.
Good job, Drift. Crosshairs would have been better if he had Bender's voice. I mean, it's the same voice actor.
I agree that both Drift and... I can't even think of his name. Could have been Decepticons.
Well, the only one that doesn't come across like a Decepticon is Hound.
Yep.
Yeah, send the humans off by themselves. That's a great idea.
Like, that's my hope for the next movie is, like, let's get some Autobots that I actually like.
Well, even if they were characters you liked previously, you wouldn't like them anymore because they're movie Autobots.
Pretty much.
Well, maybe with More Than Meets the Eye and R.I.D., the comic, being so popular, by the time the next movie comes around, maybe they'll pull aspects from that that may make the next movie better.
But then they'll just ruin those aspects.
No.
Okay, so I'm confused here. They're powering up the Star Drive, but they're anchoring themselves to the buildings. Or did the Autobots trigger that? I'm really not clear on that.
Yeah, the Autobots did that to try to slow them down.
Well, that's okay. They'll just pull all those buildings into space with them then. The drag should be enough to stop them from jumping to warp.
Those look like Ravage's ugly brothers.
Well, no, these are dogs. Ravage was a cat. Common mistake, though.
I want to make a Zool joke there with the terror dogs, but I can't quite find it, so I'll just let the audience do it.
Or, you know, not.
No. Never not. I'm like Matt Smith in a Fez. I can't pass it up.
I don't think you could pull off a Fez, Don.
I think Don could totally pull off a Fez.
No, he'd have too much of a Shriner thing going on.
Exactly.
But is that a positive thing?
I might could pull off a bow tie, maybe.
Maybe. That I could see working for you.
Bow ties are cool.
Good enough for Alton Brown.
Oh, I don't like him.
Get off!
He's incredibly
get off
likeable.
This show right now.
I've just never liked him. I'm sorry. It's just
you're not good enough to watch this movie anymore, Don.
Oh, dang. That's saying a lot.
Weapons that are conveniently just small enough for you to carry around. Isn't that great?
I don't know. They call it right now. They all look too big for him.
No, but yeah. they find like that.
He finds like one small weapon then.
You know,
that's
really
light enough to hold with one hand and drop and not kill.
Yeah.
That's actually not a weapon. That's one of their toothpicks.
You know, I really wish that in the swords in the middle, they could have maybe put some like 80s cartoon sword designs, like Voltron sword and He-Man sword and the Sword of Omens. You know.
Oh, yeah, from all these companies that, you
well,
know,
well,
they don't
I'm just
the
saying,
right.
I'm just saying visually clue homages. Stop
what
judging me.
What the heck is that?
I don't know that the people watching this are having homages to anything, because I don't know that they were fans to begin with.
That's most of the point of how these movies are made.
Yeah.
They're selling the property to a casual audience.
Yeah, that's true.
Which is why we have Mark Wahlberg this year.
Oh, well, no.
Those swords make no sense. But then look what I'm talking about. But no, I kind of agree with the point before. They're not like they're not toothpicks, but you know, they're probably like daggers for a Transformer.
Throwing dagger? Yeah, I would get a throwing dagger, but then, like you said, the whole gun, you know?
Yeah.
Or, like, a key or pen knives
well,
or something
well,
like that.
It could be you throw it as a dagger, and then it shoots inside the other robot.
highly sexualized on.
It's highly sexualized, no, but like it kind of makes sense in the context.
Well, see, in MechWarrior, they have a missile that has an explosive charge to breach the outer armor. Then it drops an interior charge that does double the damage per missile. So with a short-range SRM-5, you can do double the damage with that one warhead. Same basic concept.
And somehow, we've gone from like a baseline of doing a fan commentary for a Transformers movie to the most geeky thing Don has ever said.
Yeah.
Well, I spent years playing MechWarrior. It comes in handy from time to time.
Don, if you could see the look I'm giving you right now.
I have no head. I have no head.
I can't even say what that looks like.
It's not. Our heroes. Optimus was woken up by the sounds of needless violence, so he knew it was his troops. He's taught them well. Okay, now this whole sequence we don't need.
Yeah.
This is the dumbest idea ever.
Oh, yeah, this is just more filler.
Yeah, I really hated this.
This is like a scene that was shot specifically for the 3D IMAX crowd.
I saw it in 3D IMAX, and let me tell you, this was not that impressive looking in 3D IMAX. In fact, I can't think of anything that really stood out in the 3D.
I would agree with that. I also saw it in 3D, and it was just...
Like I've seen post-processed 3D movies that were more impressive looking than this did in native 3D.
Well, yeah,
I would say Dark of the Moon was a lot better than in 3D than this.
It was mm-hmm. great.
Well, Dark of the Moon was the first movie I paid to see in 3D, and the paratroopers gliding in was a really impressive introduction for me to 3D. But just for the extra money, I've been seeing reviews where it's just not worth it normally.
Yeah, I don't like. For the most part, I don't think it is. I saw Captain America, the first one, in 3D. That was post-processed, but it had some neat stuff in it.
I thought Thor looked pretty good, the first one in post-processed 3D.
I never saw either Thor movie. I'm just not that into Thor.
Well, just wait till the Thunderstrike movie. You'll probably enjoy that more.
And there's some continuity issues here, too, because when they did the close-up shot on her, you couldn't see the dog things in the background again. Those things look kind of cyborgish, too, don't they?
Yeah.
I didn't notice that before.
Yeah, very... Very Dweller in the Depths-ish.
No, it's more like if the Borg had puppies.
Oh, Borg puppies. Isn't that wrong?
Or is it oh so right?
Yeah, Picard's got one. Calls him Hugh.
God.
I thought that was Geordi's pet.
It would have been.
Or was Geordi Hugh's pet? I could never really tell which way that worked.
With all the stuff falling around them, I'm pretty sure that by the time he got to the bottom,
shredded.
There would have been just Yeah, shredded and lifeless.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I'm not.
And where did he get that from?
Oh, that was oh, yeah. I think that was part of the, I don't remember, never mind.
Also, didn't we have a scene like this in Dark of the Moon?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think they're the exact same vehicles from Dark of the Moon, aren't they?
I have to look.
I think the Dark of the Moon vehicles were actually bigger than this, because I think they had enclosed cockpits.
Now, this I did like when they're going through and just, like, flinging stuff up.
I hate stuff.
Like, in general?
Yeah, that was probably the S. The
and look, that's the tower. That's the tower Sentinel Prime was on that they already destroyed once. They should have rebuilt that fast to have it knocked down again. This is why they shouldn't have done this in Chicago again. They could have gone to Detroit or something.
Is there anything left standing in Detroit?
Well, that's what I'm saying, though. Nobody would know the difference. Like, the ship would just be in the sky and nobody would notice because Detroit is Detroit and it's not like it can get worse. This is kind of dumb, too. They couldn't shoot those down with the mounted weapons on the ship, but he jumps out with his handguns and blows two of them out of the sky.
It's best not to ask.
I can't help it, though.
Yeah, I think that's how I enjoy the movie the most, is when I don't think and ask questions. That's when these movies are a lot of fun.
You know, I've seen a lot of summer movies where when you think about them, it doesn't really – it actually makes the movie better. Because
that's a lot of movies.
That's not these movies.
The trick is to not make you think. Like, I have not gone back – once and thought about anything that happened in Pacific Rim, and I still love that movie.
I still haven't seen Pacific Rim.
Oh, you need to. It's really a fun movie.
I don't know that I could watch it again. I watched it in IMAX 3D, and it was amazing, and I don't know that I could go back and see it again.
Well,
it was the perfect viewing. I don't want to ruin it.
Yeah. But, you know, with those in Pacific Rim, just as a parallel to this, the
product
robots
placement.
The robots are big,
all over the place,
and slow. So, you know, you expect them to be slow.
Product placement
everywhere.
They need to start playing Sandman music.
Two people will get that.
Okay, Bay, can you add a few more flags? We can still... we can still see the buildings. I mean, not being unpatriotic, I'm just saying we know we got it.
No, Don. You're... Never mind.
I'm
going to say Don is better red than dead, but...
Yeah, and you'll be at Deep Space Nine.
What?
Well, he said it'll be in Deep Space. I said he'll be at Deep Space Nine.
Oh.
There we go. There's Asian Megan Fox.
Well, she already appeared once.
I missed it.
How could
you? It was when I was complaining about the subtitles.
She's the prettiest woman in the movie. How can you miss her?
She's the least sexualized woman.
No,
in the
I
movie.
Said she's prettiest.
No, that wasn't a complaint, Don.
Oh, okay.
That's a good thing.
Okay.
especially in a Michael Bay movie, that's like high praise. Of course, you know, they exploit her later in different ways.
Yeah, yell at him. He's the one that's been helping you.
Oh, there's still an hour left.
I know.
This is terrible.
But we still haven't seen Dinobots.
And we barely do.
Well, we still have about an hour to go before we do.
Good Did God. You just call them Dinobots?
Oh, that's Sentinel. That was Sentinel's head.
Oh, it was?
Huh. Yeah, I could see the red on it. They salvaged Megatron and Sentinel Prime.
That makes sense.
Yes, and there's the whole thing where, like, brains let it happen because... Why?
He's a jerk.
And he probably killed Wheelie.
Yeah, we didn't see Wheelie die on screen, did we?
No. Just another one of the characters that disappeared. You were like 1,000 feet away. How did you see that?
He's got to plant the seed in the biggest city.
Well, the seeds of the future lie buried in the past.
Three people will get that done.
And two of them are here right now.
Yeah. It's the Lost series.
Yeah, it needs to be lost forever.
No, Don. It was an evolution revolution.
Time out, Don. And now gratuitous China.
Yeah. In case you...
gratuitous China.
In case you confused it with Beijing, Russia. Sorry, I've been watching too much CinemaSins. I'm sorry.
I'm happy to say I don't know what you're talking about.
Are they going to steal a train?
I guess once they do, they're going to go for it.
God.
Well, maybe they just need to like get up over a city.
Little late, Don.
I just now saw it, sorry.
I'm leaving that in.
Well, is it me?
No.
Could be any of us. Skype has a tendency to try to amplify whatever audio it can pick up on in quiet.
It's not me.
We just need to talk more, that's all.
Yeah.
Exactly right.
Oh, the problem is there's not enough interesting in this movie to keep us talking the whole time.
As soon as this movie does something amazing, we'll talk about it.
Oh, well, we're in trouble then, aren't we?
As soon as it does something frustrating, we're going to talk about it.
Well, if that was the case, shouldn't we have been talking nonstop?
This is true. You know, I could make things interesting with my megaphone, but I don't think I'm going to.
Megatron, megaphone.
No, Don. Someone's chair is complaining.
That was me.
Oh, you are getting the megaphone.
I certainly am.
It actually kind of sound like a Transformer now.
No, he just sounds like he's got a bad internet connection.
I sound like 1997.
Yeah, something like that.
Say, and now we return to the Transformers.
So we just missed one of my least favorite scenes in the whole movie.
Cool.
But where he calls, what's his name?
Yeah.
And, you know, clues him in on what being an inventor is really about. And completely changes his whole, like, life outlook.
I hate that so much. I hate it.
Because, like, I get that for the story to work, it's important for that character to have a turnaround. But this is, like, the worst way to realize that. There is, like, no worse way they could have made that happen.
So, I just had a bad idea. So, in the next movie, he has a new company called Primus. And this company makes Autobots.
And his chief competitor is Unicron?
Well, I wasn't going to go that far.
Why not? The movie would.
Or uni.com or something.
Oh, look, here's where Lockdown finally realizes half of his ship is missing.
Yeah, so they're always like, oh, he'll be so far away, you know, by the time he realizes it's gone, because we're traveling by light speed, but it only takes a couple minutes for him to get back, too, so.
Well, and here's the thing, too. When Lockdown left out of Chicago, I assumed, okay, Lockdown's involvement with the movie is done. He's going to go and probably be back for a future movie. And that yes. From this point on, the plot is going to shift to Galvatron. But that's...
You would think that.
I did think logically. That. The sad fact is that in terms of, like, a decent story, any one of us or, like, all of us put together could do better than this. You know, we could.
But would it be? Would it be as pretty though?
Well, you can hire people to make it pretty. Pretty and the writing is not like intertwined.
You know, a little bit it is.
I saw that in the theater. I was waiting for that robot's foot to pass through the beam. They're on the conveyor belt. Then I realized, hey, they actually caught. It was actual physical foot that bumped the beam instead of just passing through the CGI.
I want the seed. Couldn't they have called it something else?
The pod. But
it is a seed.
The MacGuffin.
It's more like a bomb.
The movie or the object?
It's the seed.
Well played, dog. Well played. Well, he's back. Surprise, surprise.
He may be dead, but he had a nice nap.
Well, he can't be dead because he was never alive. That was kind of a thing with all of these, you know, artificial transformers. You basically couldn't kill them until you could. Because that's basically how the progression of that big battle goes. They keep hacking away at them, they don't die, but then all of a sudden they're hitting them once and they die.
Yeah, with high...
High... What?
Okay, which one's Cyclonus?
purple one. I wish they had named the company KPI or something. Then it could have been like Kiss Players International. Or...
No, Don, no.
More explosions.
Well, it's a Michael Bay movie. It's always more explosions.
One day Michael Bay is going to make a movie that has no explosions. And the world will just basically just grind to a halt.
I don't think he would ever make a movie with no explosions.
It's just not in his nature.
See, he called it a bomb.
Mm-hmm. That's okay. We'll just fly over a recognizable Chinese landmark. It doesn't really matter how close it is to our actual destination. Not like anybody knows geography anyway. China's only about the size of Rhode Island, right?
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah. You can drive across that in an afternoon.
Yeah, and we've all heard of the Great Wall of Pawtucket.
It was shaped like a...
The Hatteras.
Oh, wait, no.
Yeah, it kind of bothers me that Prime lost his faith in humanity. He should be the one person that never loses faith in the humans.
But maybe they did that to give it more gravity, that if he's the one that does lose his faith, that's how bad the situation is.
It's also kind of like the last step he can take since, you know, he's murdered everybody else already. Sooner or later, it had to be the humans.
Rainbow Dash.
Figures the brony would know it.
And his ringtone. And his ringtone is the More Than Meets the Eye theme.
I agree, shut up. All of you, shut up.
It's always the best time for negotiation.
Mm-hmm.
We should be saying something, but there's nothing to comment on.
Yeah, no, there's... Not really. Yeah.
And here's another completely unnecessary batch of minutes.
Also more product placement. Really,
the China product placement.
No, there was a big L'Oreal banner on the bus that went by in the background a minute ago. Ah, here comes Chinese exploitation.
Now, is that guy, is he supposed to be somebody that we're supposed to know or at least be aware of?
No, because we're not Chinese.
But I'm saying he is someone major in...
He's someone that the Chinese audience would know, yeah.
Okay.
Another least favorite scene.
And why does the elevator just stay there the
whole
time?
Yeah. This is a, you know.
No, it's I got a rock.
I like seeing her fight. It's at least a...
You just like her because you think she's Chinese Megan Fox.
Well, she must watch Go Buster. She just threw her sunglasses away for no reason.
After seeing the movie, I don't think of her as Chinese Megan Fox at
all.
No.
She's a much more, like, real character. She's not made of plastic.
Lady J.
Maybe she should have been April in the Turtles movie.
Or Jinx.
I still haven't seen that movie.
Don't be I'm racist, not. Don.
well, Jinx was Asian, wasn't she?
That's not true. You know, she's not
right,
defined by her race.
If she can fight like that, she'd be a good for that role. She wouldn't need any training.
Okay.
I'm kind of disappointed we haven't gotten like a Stinger Deluxe class toy.
Yeah, like, it seems like it's an odd choice not to do that. Of all the figures they did, not to do that one figure.
Well, and the speculation is they couldn't get licensing from Pagani to make a toy. That's why Stinger only exists as, like, Legends recolors.
Yeah, but they have that one step changer. Doesn't that look like a Pagani?
I guess not.
Huh.
Or, you know, not meaningfully enough.
Yeah.
Like, going back to Revenge of the Fallen, Sideways was, like, an Audi something in the movie, but they tweaked the design for the deluxe toy so it couldn't be, like, legally distinguished, I guess. I guess they figure it's just not worth making a Stinger toy this time out. But, you know, Age of Extinction's a small line anyway, relatively speaking.
But she's such a deep and interesting mm-hmm. character.
Just like Sideways.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if it was from, you know, reading something or watching Radio Free Cybertron years and years ago, but... What they used to do with the Transformers cars, they used to take like two or three different types of cars and blend them together.
Yeah, usually stuff like that. Well, it's a good thing those mountains and everything are just like, you know, a short trip away from Hong Kong. They're not really...
I mean, next thing you're going to tell me is, you know,
it's
I'm
not
going
sunset five times a day.
Well, I was going to say next thing you're going to tell me the Smithsonian's not in in New Mexico.
No. It's not that the Smithsonian's in New Mexico. It's that there's an airplane graveyard outside the Smithsonian in D.C. You know, the vast Washington D.C. desert.
Yes.
No, that's inside the. That's not even mine.
Oh, hound.
Tank's empty, bro.
John Goodman's really good casting for that, though.
Yeah.
And they used him well. It's not just like, you know, celebrity voice for the sake of celebrity voice. John Goodman actually did a really good job with it.
Well, I said this. This is basically the only... I went in expecting nothing to this movie. I came away with nothing except that he is the best voice actor in the movie with what he does for Hound.
Well, there's another elevator that just sits open for a long time.
I was going to say, those elevator doors are horrible.
Must just be a Chinese thing.
This guy's a really bad shot, too.
That's a long way away, though.
And dude's moving, too, so...
I mean, if that were like a rifle, mm-hmm. one thing.
Or even just a bigger pistol.
Yeah.
He looks so disappointed he couldn't shoot her.
He could have. I mean...
Well, and there's our one allowed instance for a PG-13 rating. This I didn't like either, like this whole sequence.
Yeah, it's like cheap parkour, and it's not even very fun to watch.
It is cheap parkour.
I would have kept running along the roof, personally, but...
Well, at least doing this, he had to stop shooting.
I mean, I'm not familiar with China, but I was wondering if it would actually look like this.
Well, you know, they filmed in China...
You know, there's an old Vulcan proverb.
Only Nixon can go to China.
I was going to say Optimus, but I was just going to leave it at old. There's an old Vulcan proverb, so.
Yeah, it says just like that one time on Voyager.
No, it's that one episode of Voyager. What kind of fan of my podcast are you, Don? You don't even get our in jokes, right?
Yeah, maybe the only one.
Maybe.
I'm your biggest fan.
Oh.
Only fan. I actually that
really true. Puts things in perspective.
It's Brian, I'm quitting the podcast.
I actually look forward to superhero time.
Yeah, that's the part that's always disturbed me. Oh, look, remember that thing in the beginning of the movie?
He did make the varsity team.
That's not a knife.
Gotta hate him.
This is a knife. That was really bad compositing.
I way prefer Shia.
Actually, out of all the humans that died, I don't think I felt bad for any of them.
Team Jerkface was blasting off again.
You know, it's not like... These human characters are not really compelling, but I don't mind watching them as much as I minded watching... Shia and Megan and Bag of Hangers in Dark of the Moon.
Yeah. They're a slightly less boring group of humans.
And every 5 minutes they're not yelling, Sam!
Oh, sure. Now it's time for reinforcements.
And
from Cybertron.
Do you and whose reinforcements were sitting on the escape pod?
The well, other night. That doesn't sound like the Transformer language from the first movie.
Nope.
But that was more like modem screeching anyway.
Well, he was talking legend speak.
Yeah.
Because they can't say Dinobots.
They don't ever say Dinobots, do they?
Nope.
Like, I'm not really surprised by that, but I didn't really make that connection until just now.
Kind of disappointed me.
This movie is so long.
What, have y'all seen the add-on kit that the making for Hound to actually give him the guts?
Yeah, I've seen the picture. Of course, what they neglect to mention is how that interacts with the vehicle mode. Drift gets a really good line in here. Well, really good by the standards of this movie, anyway. Thanks for spitting on the camera. That was totally necessary.
Let me ride you.
That, I like that. I was expecting a giant car.
Would it be good or bad if Grimlock had looked like Rodimus Prime? I'm just some giant futuristic. I'm just saying, you know, if it had been a giant car, you could have used Rodimus Prime's vehicle mode as like a space Winnebago there.
Well, since you put it that way. But wait, can't he not understand him because he's not talking that ancient language anymore?
Shh. Shh.
And by the power of Grayskull.
Poor Grimlock's like, I don't know why you're beating me.
The Dinobots need to be more colorful like the toys. Like, if anything should have been very colorful, it should have been the Dinobots.
Just wait for RID, you'll get a green Grimlock.
Yeah, I saw that trailer today.
Yeah, let's just break more stuff.
Yeah, we could have jumped over it, but let's just go
or gone
it.
Around it. The wall ended like 10 feet to the side. No, we'll just go through. It's fine.
So how many Dinobots do we count? There's only three, right?
Well, Strafe is somewhere.
Yeah.
Four. Again, but no Snarl.
Snarl and Slog were not on-screen characters, I don't believe.
But just like the last 86 movie, there's no Snarl.
Yeah, weird how that works.
Except for briefly. For like a fraction of a second.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. He's in the background scene, and that was it.
He's also walking through Quintessa,
oh, really?
I think.
Maybe like in like a distance shot.
Okay.
He's like in it for like, two or three very brief scenes.
Like barely even it would barely even constitute a cameo.
Yeah,
he was an extra. And here's the point where they can just start killing the fake Transformers, which they haven't been able to do so far. Even when the Dinobots aren't helping, they can kill them now.
I just wanted Grimlock to say, me want to munch metal.
I want Grimlock to just, I just want the Dinobots to not suck and be in it more than 10 minutes.
That was also too much to ask for, Don. You really should have known better.
Yeah, I know. I should have kept my expectations at below zero.
I don't think that's low enough.
No, I went in with zero. Not going negative was being positive.
Yeah, I mean, so these Dinobots aren't like strictly non-G1. I mean, prior to season three, when they all became comic relief, they were kind of just big and stupid and strong. I mean, like the Me Grimlock Munch Metal, you know, is the silly movie in season three. Grimlock is not the Grimlock that most people remember. It's the Grimlock that most people regret.
Well, season three Grimlock is the one I think of most. But
yeah, me too. He's my favorite.
But then season three was the best anyway.
Mm-hmm. Far and away. But people who only remember seasons one and two, primarily season one, they remember season one being like 95 episodes. you know, they don't remember Grimlock like that.
They remember Grimlock more in Furman's recollection of Grimlock.
Even though they never read a Transformers comic. They remember the Hot Topic Grimlock.
For your love?
Oh, I think that's the hotel that sued for, like, breach of contract with their sponsorship agreement.
I hear that's going to be the location of Batcon next year.
Darn you, fun pub.
God.
2 hours and 19 minutes. Are we close?
Nope.
Are we there yet?
No, we got, like, another 2 hours to go.
Oh, God. I'd kill myself and I'd wind up regenerating. Be like, oh, no, not again.
Well, now, if you regenerated into, like, you know, Tenet, that wouldn't be so bad, would it?
I'd probably get Capaldi and be all old and arrogant and mean and with evil eyebrows.
But you're already almost senile, Don. How would people know the difference if you regenerated into Capaldi?
Then I'd be Scottish.
So what if you regenerated into Tom Baker? That'd be pretty awesome.
Well, Tom Baker then or Tom Baker now? Ah,
then.
What's an important question?
Basically, every single Doctor Who episode I've ever watched starred Tom Baker, except for the 2005 pilot.
No, Rose. Don, you need to regenerate into, Paul McGann 7? Why is the movie still not over?
They're still running.
Yeah.
I really don't like him.
Which one?
The boyfriend. He's just cocky in an unnecessary way.
But he's Irish.
You know, I think if this were the 1986 movie, he would probably have like his first initial on his chest.
Yeah.
And it would be kind of, that would be kind of great.
No, I think that'd be to whom, actually.
Yeah.
All right, let's wreck another city. So, question, why is this a thing?
I don't know.
Like, why is this a thing? Oh, look, more product placement. Big up close on the Gucci on the sunglasses. Yeah,
why does he need to suck anything up? Why can't he just go get Optimus like he did before?
I don't know.
Special effects.
Because, you know, Chicago got destroyed in the last movie and China's jealous.
So this really does feel like two movies that have been that basically the ending was cut off the first one, then basically squished together.
Well, where would you say the ending was in the first movie here?
The Galvatron scene?
Probably, yeah.
Which Galvatron scene?
The one where he showed up.
Galvatron's the big boss fight leading into the end of the movie. And the
Galvatron would have been the big boss fight. They would have resolved the stuff with Kelsey Grammer. And then it would have been over.
That would have been better.
It would have been better, wouldn't it? And this could have just been the movie, the Transformers movie that they showed in China. Or vice versa. I don't care. It's just twice as long as it needs
Lockdown
to be.
Lockdown didn't need to come back. Like, that's the major takeaway here. Lockdown didn't need to come back. They didn't need to have Lockdown's ship in Chicago. That was really unnecessary, too. Like, there's whole swaths of this you could cut out and make a more, like, condensed format and really make the movie better. You know, the only big battle sequence needed to be China here. You could have done everything you did with Chicago here. And cut a lot of time off the movie and not make it feel like it's whittling away at your life. Right, Don? Don, do you just feel like the moment's ticking away from your life as we sit here and do this?
Well, this is the second time I've seen it, and there will be no third.
Likewise.
So, I'm going to make you watch it at TFCon, Don.
Internationally, this was the highest-grossing Transformers movie. Domestically, is it least or second least?
I think it was... At one point, it was still behind Dark of the Moon domestically, but I don't know if it ever went past that or not.
It is third. Fourth.
This is actually the lowest domestic.
A wide margin. Revenge of the Fallen, $402 million. Dark of the Moon, $352. The first one, $319.
That's in the twos.
$245.
So this did better than Revenge of the Fallen?
No, Revenge of the Fallen was the best.
Revenge of the Fallen did like twice what this did.
Domestically. It's like in the top 20 highest grossing movies of all time. I was wrong. Dark of the Moon did better internationally. By about $100 million. It did $1.1 billion. This did $1 billion. It did $1.12 billion. This did $1.08 billion. So by about $40 million. So it was close. And, of course, internationally, Transformers, the movie from 1986, made $5.8 million.
What's that in today's money?
Adjusted for inflation, $12.8 million.
Oh.
Thank you, Box Office Mojo. You're my favorite website. I love Box Office Mojo. I really do. God.
You know what would be good right now? Some cheer wine.
Oh, yes. I love cheer wine. XV, you know, like on a really hot summer day when I'm outside working, you know, my really laborious job, I nothing chills cools me down like a nice, refreshing glass of
cheer wine.
I still
have cheer wine from Shardicon.
I hope it's in cans.
It is.
Born in the South, raised in a glass. Cheerwine, cheerwine.com.
Although even in a can, it'll lose its carbonation over this much time. It's probably not very good anymore.
We're not actually sponsored by Cheerwine. Just letting people know that. I would love to have some Cheerwine right now.
I would love to have a cold RC.
That'd be good.
I can say I wouldn't love to have a cold
RC
right now.
Don loves anything that's RC.
Yes, I was. Yep.
I'm having some Mountain Dew Live Wire.
I just polished off some Pepsi Max. So this scene, even though it's not the same thing, this reminds me of the final battle in Thor of the Dark World. I think it's just the cityscape. I think it just reminds me a lot of that, except not as good. Now,
if you transform, you could use hands to grab onto things.
Yeah.
No, it's okay. Optimus can just shoot into the thing once and blow it all up. That solves the problem. Remember, kid, guns solve all problems.
Watch out for falling down of bots.
This is so tedious.
Yeah.
They fast-tracked the next movie since this one did so much internationally. Or rather, it did so much in China.
Well, I mean, you say fast track, but it's still going to be 2 years before 5 is out.
It's been 3 years since the last one.
Yeah, but I mean, there was always a 2 year gap before.
You're right. It was 709, 11.
This one had Battleship in between.
Well, and this one, I think they purposely decided to take more time to do it, too.
Does not show.
Well, because Michael Bay needed a break.
So since we're nearing-ish the end of it, so what's our? We've got 20 minutes.
It'll feel like more. Trust me. this was like the longest twenty minutes of the whole movie.
What's our favorite part of the movie? Is it lockdown?
Credits. My favorite part is basically John Goodman's voice work on Hound. That's the only thing I took away that impressed me. The visuals didn't impress me. The action didn't impress me. But he did really good work for Hound, and hope to see him again in the next movie.
No, Hound will just disappear with no explanation.
Yeah,
pretty much. Or he'll die.
Something. I don't know. I kind of expected Hound to get killed off in this movie. Just because. Oh, and unfortunately, the people listening can't see, but Don just brought Massey into the frame.
What does Massey think about the movie, Don?
Well, he's turned away from the computer, looking at me like, why?
So yeah.
I think that explains it.
Yep.
Okay.
That's a good shot.
Like, the thing that bugged me about that was that why was there even still a body left? Like, he just shot from the same weapon that blew up half of a spaceship. How did, you know, Frasier not just explode? I don't get that.
Oh, it's not like he's subscribing to Jahaxis' theory that Cybertronian life forms are better than everybody.
To be fair, I mean, that wouldn't be a difficult philosophy to take on in their position.
This is like, you know, the original movie where Prom has the fight and everyone else is jumping in, or Rodimus is jumping in. It's my fight. Get out of it, Rodimus.
And they've done nothing.
So I guess it's safe to say Bumblebee is the new Rodimus.
As long as it's not Hotshot. There, I said it, Walkie. I'm sorry.
We need a movie, Rodimus.
Well, I'm guessing that whenever they do the Quintesson, that would be the perfect time for the whole, you know, change of leader.
Why would they do the Quintesson?
Well,
Don?
They've already hinted at it here, so. And it would open up other storylines. It may not be good, but.
Why do they care about storylines, Don? When have they shown that they care about storylines?
It would give them something to write about.
When have they shown that they actually write this out before they film it?
Well, the first movie, maybe.
Point taken.
Still, we make jokes, but Revenge of the Fallen is the only one that was, like, specifically filmed without a finished script.
Filmed from start to filmed in completion without a finished script. I'm certain all the movies were started without a completed script.
Well, I could see things like the CGI being worked on before there was a concrete story.
That's done. The CGI stuff's done after the thing's filmed.
No, but I mean like building models.
I'm certain most of that's probably done
after
the thing's
filmed. Lockdown has a splitting headache that etc. won't even help.
Don.
I love the vomit.
Another sunset.
Well, they're in a different time zone, so that's okay.
Yeah, that's true. God, I hate this movie.
He just took off on rockets?
Yeah. In his boots.
In his pants.
Those would have been handy to use earlier.
Or a couple movies ago.
Yeah. it's like his triangle laser from...
That was Iron Man, Don.
No. More than meets the eye. The family home. It was called. Oh yeah, it was Heavy Metal War, where Prime's fighting Megatron, and he uses that triangle blaster in his hand. We never see that again.
So it's more like Heavy Metal War, when Megatron basically has whatever power he needs at that given time.
Right.
Except there's no logical device to implement
it's the
that.
Power chip rectifier.
There's no power chip rectifiers in this. It's Deus Ex Machina.
The best theory I've heard is like when Prime drew the sword, and his arms changed shape. You know, like some people have speculated that it made other changes in his body, like giving him the rockets in his legs.
I like this. The Dinobots just go running off.
China's a big place. They can go and get lost.
Yeah, we'll go get lost in Asia somewhere.
And that hug at the end there, that just, man, it just warmed my heart.
Nah.
$49.95.
Why not just go throw it in the sun?
So Optimus is he flies off in space. So is that one of the reasons that Robots in Disguise doesn't feature Optimus as the leader?
Yes, for the continuity.
The perceived continuity. That's been my theory all along. It's because you watch the movie, you want to watch a cartoon series that kind of looks like the movie, or like
well,
the movie
I thought
ended.
It was because R.I.D. was supposed to be a pickup of Prime, and Prime died.
It is, but I mean that's the thing. Prime died at the end of Beast Hunters, or the end of whatever the movie, Predacons Rising. So, but of course that was done with the knowledge that he was going to leave Earth in the movie. So for that perceived continuity between the series, that was the reason that that happened. That's been what I've assumed.
He's coming for his creators, but he's flying on, like, rocket power.
He just has to achieve escape velocity.
Well, I know, but I mean, he's going to be flying for a while just to get away from Earth's orbit.
It's over! Yay!
He just has to achieve escape velocity, and that's
really
right. Right, but
he's
not
going to
be going fast. He's not going to be going fast enough for, like, interstellar travel.
You'd be surprised without gravity pulling on you what those little rocket packs in his feet would do.
Okay, what's the source of fuel to power those rockets?
Burning justice.
Like,
what's the reaction
mass that's pushing him forward?
Burning justice.
I mean, an ion rocket spits out an atom at a time, and it can get you going pretty fast.
Yeah, after
months
of buildup.
Yeah,
but
exactly.
But he's not... He went pretty fast just to start with.
That's inertia and momentum.
Physics.
No. All that. An object in motion tends to stay in motion until acted upon by another force or object.
But it's still not fast enough for interstellar travel.
I'd agree.
Like, not in any practical sense.
He'll keep accelerating until he reaches, you know, subliminal velocity.
And then it will just take forever.
He'll
become a burst of lightning and gives creation rise to himself.
But then, even if he gets near the speed of light, it'll still take him, like, you know, 4 or 5 years to get to the next nearest star.
Not from his perspective.
But you need a more objective perspective than that, just, you know.
He lives for millions of years! It's like 5 minutes to him. He doesn't care.
Well, it has to be at the human's perspective, because he needs to come back.
Who cares
back.
About the humans? He just left them!
Yeah,
he
but
just left
gonna
them!
Come back. He's not going to leave forever.
He has to be back for the next movie.
Yep.
It doesn't matter.
He has to come back and fight Yeltron.
The next movie, most people would say probably he's just going to, you know, go off, have this little mission, and come back to Earth, and either they're going to follow him back, whoever that is, or there's just going to be a new story when he gets back to Earth.
Or, well, if they really want to catch my attention... Rodimus Prime will show up at the very first of the movie with the Matrix.
And then get killed?
And then the movie works backwards on what happened as they go into space.
I mean, there's a lot of things going at the, you know, that they could go towards at the next movie. They still got Galvatron running around. They still got the Dinobots running around.
And all those characters are running around after the end of the last movie, and they were dead by the beginning
or
of this movie. They're missing. I don't know. I think we're giving them too much
probably.
Credit. I think basically, you. How do I say this? Because I'm trying to relate it just to vomit. So, I'm not.
It's whatever comes up.
Yeah, that's pretty much a good way.
I also kind of see this as in case there wasn't going to be a 5 after this, you know, they write the ending of it where the story can close here. Optimus blasts off into space to try to find his creators, but that's not something you really have to address again.
Yeah, and if by this point, if we knew there wasn't going to be a 5th movie, they could have always made the next animated series pick up from this point. If they weren't, I'm saying if they had thought this far out, they could have made Robots in Disguise picking up from this point or something?
I would say at this point, we know there's going to be a fifth movie, and we know there's going to be a sixth movie. I mean, that's always what they talked about, is doing, you know, two trilogies. I think after that is probably where it's going to stop.
Well, it's going to keep going as long as people pay money to see it.
It makes movie. Yeah. It makes money, yeah.
Yeah, it will never not end until it not makes money.
I think if there's going to be an ending point to it, it's going to be after the next movie, if anywhere. Because, like, I think Dark of the Moon might be the high point for the whole series overall. And we're back on a downward curve.
Does that make me a bad Transformers fan that I just want it to end?
No, I don't think so. Like, I don't necessarily want it to end, but I kind of want it to be, like, restructured.
Basically,
I want it better.
Yeah, well, you want something that has this much potential to be good to actually be good.
It needs more of a reboot than just giving it a whole new human cast.
Yeah, it's just... It has the potential to be something awesome as a franchise, and it's just basically being made mediocre. I mean...
Mediocre?
What the heck is mediocre? I love okra. What's mediocre, Don?
Is that like mid-size okra? Not too big, not too small, just kind of...
Is that like mediocre, but you're saying okra at the end?
Depends on the chakras.
I'm tired and on meds. Leave me alone. But yeah, but I'm just saying, you don't see hints of greatness in these movies where they're trying to be something more than meets the eye. They're making a mediocre level movie.
Mediocre.
Okay.
Mediocre.
They're making a middling movie. And not trying to achieve something more, and this wasted potential, and that's what sort of cheeses me off.
So that's been our commentary for Age of Extinction,
and what a mediocre commentary it was.
Well,
hopefully everyone.
Movie.
Yeah, hopefully everyone enjoyed that. Hopefully you don't hate us now.
Well, I mean, think if they were going to hate us, they would have hated us long before this. Yeah. We
probably
would
already know what we thought.
Things in this.
So Diecast, you were the guy who liked this movie before you did the commentary. Do you still like it?
I didn't like it as much. This was my second time watching it. I didn't like it as much this time, and I don't know if it was because of the commentary. Even when I was sitting here, I'm like, I wonder if I was more immersed in the movie because I was sitting in an IMAX with 3D.
So this is only the second time you saw it?
Yeah, second time.
God, I saw it in theaters three times, and I kind of hate it.
It's the second time for me, bro. I saw it the first time in regular 2D, and this is my second viewing, and it's like none of my feelings have changed. The only high point about this is John Goodman's work as Hound. That's it.
Like, the only difference for me is it seemed longer.
Yes. It didn't seem as long in a nice, comfortable IMAX.
And I mean,
the one thing
I said during the recording is, you know, I think when I went to the movie theater, I turned my brain off and I just watched. I didn't question anything.
Well, I mean,
it's much better that way.
See, I went in I literally, honestly went in not expecting anything but a time sink of 3 hours. I wasn't expecting anything. And I left with nothing. I mean, you can't go into a movie expecting zero and nothing surprise you. Nothing amazes you. And Dark of the Moon did that completely, other than with the one exception. You know, it just completely did nothing. And I think
Dark
that's
of the Moon?
I'm sorry. I mean, I'm Age of Extinction. I keep doing that.
The only thing I left
I do that too.
You know, originally... not liking or is that I didn't get enough Dinobots. The Dinobots didn't talk. And I think those were my two main things that I walked out of the theater saying, I wish this would have been different.
I'm glad it's over.
And we don't have to do this again for like 2 or 3 years.
But we are going to do the 2007 movie and G.I. Joe back to back.
Yeah, well, after a respectable, like, you know, 6 months or so, so we can recover from this.
I think we should.
There may not be any recovery from this.
There's no going back. Okay, guys, thank you very much, everyone. If you don't already watch or listen to Radio Free Cybertron, check us out at tfradio.net or at tformers.com.
This has been Radio Free Cybertron. Visit us at tfradio.net for show notes and to subscribe to the podcast. Follow us on Twitter at TF Radio for news and updates. Watch our live stream at tfradio.net/live. Join our Facebook fan page at facebook.com/TF Radio. Subscribe to our YouTube channel, TF Radio Network. Have a question or comment? Leave it on our Facebook fan page or mail it to contact@tfradio.net. This podcast is released under a Creative Commons license. Any part of this podcast can and should be redistributed, but please, proper attribution is required if you know what's good for you.
Transformers. It's better than crack.